When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Welcome back. Second hour is live. We had a busy first hour. Let's get back to the calls. And John is up next. Hey, John.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
We're doing well. Thank you.
I hadn't planned on calling back after opening up Pandora's box last night. I did not mean to do that. I just felt called to call. But I would like to address a couple things. First off, I do appreciate all the calls and support from other callers. You know, it was a struggle to get through, but I did, and I appreciate it, everybody, greatly. Now, with Iman, I have no ill will towards Iman. What he said was inappropriate, but it's par for the course with Iman. I really could not care less. You know, he could try to offend me all he wants. It's just not going to happen. I've been through some really hard stuff. So making silly comments and jokes and stuff like that doesn't get to me anymore. But anyway, there is one thing I wanted to add, or maybe two things. So you would ask me, you know, one piece of advice for someone who's struggling with addiction. I still think that surrendering is the first thing you have to do. But what's more important than that, and it's not just surrendering like, okay, like Michael Scott in The Office screaming, I declare bankruptcy. It's not like I declare I'm an addict and then, you know, you're good. Like, you have to accept the fact that that is who you are and that is going to be with you for the rest of your life. And then you have to take action. So there's plenty of people out there that aren't addicts or alcoholics that, like I said, go through these programs and just whatnot and come out just fine. But the ones that, you know, have this disease, and I mean, it is a disease. It's genetic, and it can only take one sip or one pill for that to you know, those synapses in your brain to break, and those don't mend, by the way. That's a permanent, you know, whatever. So anyway, I just felt like I needed to call back and just kind of clear that up. You know, it's absolutely, you have to surrender to the fact that that's who you are, that you are an addict, or I am an addict, and I have to be careful, you know, about who I hang out with and what I do. But then after that, accepting that fact, which is hard to accept, you know, it's hard to tell your family. You know, my family doesn't understand this. None of them were addicts. So it was a very hard time, you know, just them understanding what I was going through. But the next thing is action. You have to take action. You know, you have to, and it does. I don't mean, I wasn't trying to push an AA agenda. I don't care. There's many ways to get sober. The guy that called right after me, I think, I don't remember if he had someone passed away. I think his father might have passed away or something, and that was motivation for him to get sober. And that's great. You know, if you have that kind of motivation and willpower, that's fantastic. But not everybody has that kind of willpower, and it takes action. Like, you have to put in work in order to beat this, you know, to recover, really. It's not just about being sober. It's about being recovered. There's a big difference between sobriety and recovery. And I know Iman's not that intelligent, but I have a few words here for him, and I know he's not going to know what it means, but I'd like him to Google it if he's listening. It's called frothy emotional appeal, and it's exactly what he did yesterday. Anyone else out there listening, Google that, frothy emotional appeal. And that's basically when someone that's not an addict tells you, hey, just quit. Why don't you just quit, you know? Stop drinking. That's brought the emotional appeal. Stay
calm. Thank you very much, Sean. You be well, and we appreciate you calling back. Elmo is up next. Good afternoon, Elmo.
Well, hey, Paul. been a long time since I talked to you.
Well, I miss you.
I listen to the show every day for the most part. I usually miss the last hour. In fact, I think sometimes the show is about an hour too long. That's just my personal opinion. But anyway,
Elmo, you got to pay these salaries, okay?
I know all those big salaries being paid in back there. Paul, I'm going to defend Iman about this little kerfuffle he got himself into at the end of the show yesterday. In all honesty, I didn't catch the last hour, so I didn't hear the calls. But I understand perfectly where Iman is coming from. This show, for the last 3 or 4 years, has slowly drifted away from sports on the caller side to people calling in, talking about their personal problems and what have you. There's a demographic that's taken over this show. It's over 70. These people have been proven not to read a whole lot. First thing they do when they retire, they get rid of the internet. So what I hear is a lot of amateurish type phone calls. Of course, they love to call in and jump on Jim for anything and everything. Or they love to call in and just talk about their health. And we've gotten away from sports. And I've been around this show a long time. If you you live in Birmingham, you probably know who I am. You know I was a mainstay on this show for years. I speak frankly and honestly, and I try to. And I'm just being straightforward here. But really, this thing started when you started letting Millie on. I call it the Millie factor. When Millie started coming on every day and talking about what she had for lunch and how much she loves you, blah, 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 blah. It's almost like the phone number for the show got written down on every bedpan and every nursing home restroom in the country. So we had this, huge influx of people that are really not fans. They just want to call in and just wave their hand. Matt Jones alluded to this a few years ago when he said that sports talk has changed, and it really has, Paul. People are not reading like they used to. They're just calling in and checking in and saying hi or giving some kind of opinion on a caller that they hate or just repeat what they've heard. I'll never forget Wimp Sanderson saying that his experience with fans is most of them just repeat something that they've already heard. So I understand, so to kind of round this out and move on, I understand where Iman's coming from. I'm tired of hearing about people's personal problems. It's not to diminish their personal problems. I'm not saying addiction is not an issue or their health. I mean, I have a great empathy for that. But to me, coming to this show and listening to this show is my happy place every day. And my happy place is to listen to people talk about sports in an intelligent way and just talk about sports in general. Not this turning into, I'm sick today, I don't feel good, I've got a problem, blah, 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 blah. But anyway, that's just how I feel about everything, Paul. And who knows? I may just call again.
Well, you will be welcome.
I told the screener I was going to drop an atomic bomb on this show today. So if I pissed you off, good. Call in. See you later, Paul.
Thank you, Elmo. Elmo, part of the original show. I'm not sure I'll ever get over that line, putting the phone number on bedpans in nursing homes. I don't know. That took great. If I could comment about myself, it took great self-restraint not to to lose it on that one. DC is up next. Good afternoon.
Thanks for taking my call, Paul.
Thank you.
First of all, that guy really didn't piss me off. He put me to sleep. But anyway, back to the original.
But he preferred when we used to talk about sports.
I know, apparently. But to the young
didn't
man in Alabama,
sports, but...
yeah, Godspeed to him. Addiction's a real thing. I've dealt with it personally in my family to a great degree. I've also had corrections and dealt with it on a daily basis. But it kind of takes me to the point of I-Man. And, you know, I don't proclaim to be an expert on the show. I listen when I can. I have for the last several years. But, you know, I've often wondered why that I-Man has been given the celebrity status that some of the other callers on here seem to have, like Legend and those, because anytime I've ever heard his calls, I mean, they've been, he tries to be funny. He's not, he's insulting. For the first ever, how many years I ever heard him call, it was nothing except for something to do with Jim from Tuscaloosa. If it weren't for Jim from Tuscaloosa, I mean, would have had nothing to comment on. So I just find it obnoxious, but I also find it par for the course. And I'm just curious, maybe back in the day, I mean, was a good caller, but it was obviously before I started listening. Thanks, Paul, and have a great day.
Thank you, DC. We will take a break here. Bombs dropping on Feinbaumville. We'll take your phone calls right after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Here on a Tuesday afternoon, Carl is up next, calling from Mississippi. Carl?
Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Yes. How are you doing, buddy? I hope your day's going well, bud.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. One of your callers, and I apologize. I've never called to any show ever before. So, but one of the callers, have no idea what his name was, but and not to put him in a negative site, but I just wanted to reiterate, or excuse me, give my opinion on what about the addiction and so forth. I heard him say a couple times, you know, you just have to agree or come to the terms that you are an addict. And a lot of that verbiage, I'm kind of an old coach, old trainer, and in my opinion, it just kind of keeps you in a bad mindset. So I would just want to throw out my opinion on it, which, again, that didn't mean I have so much empathy and I guess you could say even sympathy for patients that or people that are addicted to whatever that may be, pills, alcohol, whatever the case is. But, yeah, I just wanted to maybe throw out the terminology of just you saying, well, look, this is genetics. This is, if you look at some of the books and some of the research that's out there now, again, you better believe I understand what they have projected with, like, AA, which has helped, I'm sure, hundreds of thousands of people, I'm sure. But I just would like for the readers, or excuse me, your listeners, that you don't just have to be, what would you call it, subjected to, this is just who I am. And maybe that's not the point he was trying to make.
Well,
but
and
I was
Carl,
gonna put
and
it out.
I'm not to add another element to this, but a lot of times people become addicted for a reason. It's not just because of genetics. It's not because they chose to. It's because they've had either, you know, serious mental down moments in their life, loss, injury. I mean, I don't know the stats on it, but I do know that a lot of well-meaning people ended up getting hooked on drugs because you know they were in service. They had a stressful job. They were injured. There are a lot of reasons why people end up where they are.
I love that point. And that's kind of that. I love the way you spoke about that, because that's where I think it gets a little convoluted. Because I think the same thing, you know, life stresses, it could be your childhood, whatever the case is.
Yeah.
But yes, sir, I didn't want it to come out that way. And like I said, I've never called on your show or any other show, but thank you for taking the call. Thank you so much. But
yeah, I mean, I can't imagine dealing with a severe injury and not having to face the burdens of the medicine that you take. I'm not making excuses for anyone, and I've been fortunate in my life that I've had very few problems, but I know plenty of people who have, and you know, not of their choosing. Nobody's choosing to be in that position. Very interesting call there. Thank you so much. Daryl is up next.
What's going on, Paul?
Hey there, Daryl.
You know, I think I got an addiction. I feel like I'm starting to have an addiction to winning national championships in college football. You know what I mean?
Hey, that can happen.
Hey, I want to switch gears here real quick with you. I want to talk a little bit about the U.S. Open that just played this past Sunday and Ricky Fowler. Paul, is he ever going to win a major?
No.
You know, I knew he was in trouble when I saw he was in orange. You know what I mean? I thought right then, I said, but, you know, that guy went out there and had 18 birdies in the first 36 holes. And he just cannot finish for whatever the reason. I don't know. It's probably mental, but, I mean, I think there was
– Well, Daryl, of course it's mental. I mean, there's –
out of all the golfers that made the cut, there was only three that shot worse than what he shot on Sunday.
One of the greatest golfers –
I was really hoping he would win.
One of the greatest golfers of all time is Greg Norman. He won two majors because on Sunday he couldn't deal with the pressure.
Absolutely, and it is a lot of pressure, I'm sure.
Oh, it's enormous. I'm not going to try to sell you on golf being different. All sports have enormous pressure, but the difference in golf, you're by yourself. If you're fading, unlike in a football or basketball or baseball game, there's no one to lean on. And what happened to Ricky the other day was fairly predictable if you study his career.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, sad to say, but hopefully he'll get the money off the back somewhere down the road and win a major. Paul, I want to ask you. I want to ask you about Alabama fans like Larry. Okay, I mean, if one thing that they are really good at is bragging about winning national titles in college football. We know that, right? But there's something else, Paul, that they are just as good at, if not better. You know what that is?
What's that?
Making excuses when they don't win national titles. I mean, you know, rebuilding year, players hurt, coaches suck. I mean, Paul, what Larry needs to realize is, okay, the difference between now and then is Kirby Smart. Kirby Smart's no longer there. And if you look at it, you can't compare Kirby Smart to Nick Saban. Okay, that would be kind of unfair because Nick Saban has been a head coach a lot longer than Kirby Smart has. But compare any coaches that Kirby Smart on what he's accomplished on his first 8 years, and I don't think there's anyone out there that can touch him. I mean, would you agree with that?
Well, I think in his first 10 years, Dabo Swinney had pretty similar success.
But he didn't win back-to-back titles, though, did he?
No, but I think he played for three out of four times.
I mean, we do compete in the SEC also. Let me say this about the schedule. The new schedule, I saw that. I hear people whining. You know what? Kirby's already said, we'll play anybody, anywhere, any place. I think it's good. I think it's good for college football. I want to play Alabama every year.
Daryl, you've won two national championships
in
Georgia.
They can do away with the jump games. It'd be
Saban
fine with me. But I think it's good for college football.
I mean, you talk like you have changed the world. Alabama has won six national championships since 2009. When you've won that many, I think you have a reason to talk like you're talking. But you're not there yet.
Well, hey, right? But Alabama had won. We won two since the last time they won one.
You know what,
Paul?
Daryl, what does that mean?
The recruiting, okay? He was looking at 2023.
I mean,
he was correct.
Daryl,
Alabama
you're
at,
you
number
act
one.
Like
Georgia was number two.
Nick Saban,
Larry, you need to go look at 2024.
Like Nick Saban would be nowhere without Kirby Smart.
The 19, Paul, all the way to 19. I'm sure they'll move up, but that's where they set at right now. Larry just needs to chill out and go drink one of them Bud Lights. I'm sure they're not hard to find this day and time. You know what I mean? See you, Paul.
I don't know what that meant, but I'm not in the beer business. We'll take a short break. More of your phone calls right after this.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
It's that time of the year when we are devouring preseason magazines and articles and predictions. And Matt Zenitz joins us from On3. He formerly covered the Crimson Tide. And now he's talking about the upcoming season. Matt, great to see you again. Thanks so much for hopping on. So tell us about your research and what you've come up with in terms of teams that are positioned to make big jumps in 23.
Yeah, so a couple teams that had decent expectations heading into last year that ultimately didn't live up to those expectations, then now a year later seem poised to maybe have the types of years that people were expecting last year, specifically the Texas A&Ms of the world and then Miami under Mario Cristobal to go along with that.
Yeah, I mean, what's fascinating is these two play each other, second week of the season. And I have a feeling it's going to be a different type of game than we saw last year in College Station when neither team looked very good. A&M was teetering. They may have already lost to App State, or they would the next week. But let's start with Miami, because they were an abject disaster last year with a former Saban disciple. What's changed?
The offensive line specifically. So they've done a good job, and this shouldn't be any surprise to anyone familiar with Mario Cristobal, but they've done a very good job upgrading the talent since he first got there from Oregon. And one of the key areas that they upgraded this offseason was the offensive line. So had issues along the line last year, and then through the portal added a couple guys who are going to be impact players for them, Javion Kelwin from Alabama, and then Matt Lee, an all-conference center from UCF, both guys who are on the NFL radar that should be key components of that line moving forward. And then you add in, to go along with that, some highly ranked, very talented freshmen like Francis Maigoa, who it looks like an immediate starter for them along the offensive line to go along with a couple guys coming back that are decent players also, including at least one that's on the NFL radar, should lead to not only improvement for the line, but for the rest of the offense as a whole, including making life easier for Tyler Van Dyke, who obviously there were big expectations for last year, didn't play up to the level that he did 2 years ago, and now seems like he's maybe on track to bounce back and look more like the Tyler Van Dyke of 2021 compared to the Tyler Van Dyke of last year, aided by that improvement along the line.
Matt, we know Bobby Petrino has now landed in College Station. That there's a lot there. Along with that, what else is changing?
The culture. Hey, I've gotten some really good feedback on the culture at A&M to where something that's come up from multiple people that have talked to over there is just the culture, team chemistry, all of that just hit a much better point in a much better place than where it was the same time last year, which they expect to make a difference. And the good thing for A&M, even last year when they had the issues that they did, they were not devoid of talent by any means, and they are definitely not devoid of talent heading into this year, where they probably have, just speaking of guys who are on the NFL radar, I don't know, around double-digit guys who have a chance to get drafted, including a decent amount at some point in the first few rounds, including on both sides of the ball, and then that defensive line is going to be a real strength of theirs heading into this year, led by players like McKinley Jackson, who I know just talking to some people at the NFL level view as a viable first-round guy heading into this year. And then just to circle back to Bobby Petrino real quick, I know that that's going to be a much followed thing throughout the course of the year in terms of the Bobby Petrino dynamic with Texas A&M. For whatever it's worth, have gotten some really good feedback on Bobby, how he's fit in so far, how he's meshed with the rest of the staff. And like I said, for whatever it's worth, the feedback on my end about Bobby so far at A&M as the new offensive coordinator there has been positive.
With Matt Jennetts, let's go to the Big 12 for a second. Final year in the Big 12, Oklahoma, Matt. Expectations better be higher. Last year, another disaster under Brent Venables. What's changing out there?
Well, first of all, expect the record to change significantly. So part of it, three of the six teams that beat them during the regular season last year, they do not play this year. And if I remember correctly, three of the new opponents that they face are the Big 12 newcomers who, at least a couple of them, with Cincinnati being one, probably going to have some growing pains heading into this year. So the schedule is part of why I feel like that. But at the same time, they do have some talent. Dylan Gabriel, I think, is going to take a step forward this year. They added some guys through the portal who are going to help them, including in the front seven on defense, like Rondell Boothroyd from Wake Forest, who have gotten some good feedback on and going to be a difference maker for them. So that's why I feel like that about Oklahoma.
Final school, Matt, is Colorado. Everybody has been hearing about them since the day Deion landed. I don't know how you can possibly evaluate a roster that has completely been turned upside down, but give it a shot.
Yeah. So you'll appreciate a comparison that had one that the one Pac-12 coach made going back like a month or two ago. So he said as they were going through the full roster purge at that point, that his expectation for 2023 Colorado was that it was going to look like a real life version of Keanu Reeves and the replacements, or Shane Falco and the replacements. I don't know if it's going to be that drastic, but wait, one thing I will say, obviously they cleared out a good portion of the previous staff's roster, but while I think that it's going to naturally take time to gel for the guys that they brought in and just getting that group together, that they did add some talent and some guys who not only were top recruits like the Savelle Smalls of the world, a former five-star guy, but they added some guys who have contributed, including at a high level in some cases. And I think that they, even though it's going to be a rough year one, that's no secret, and I don't think you can find many people that will argue that, I do think that they will at least be more respectable and competitive just based on some of that top-end talent that they added, including the guys from Florida State, added a backup corner from Alabama, added the Savelle Smalls of the world, like I said, and then Alt McCaskill is part of what's going to be a really good running back group for them. That also includes a Kentucky transfer and Kavassier Smoke. But when I say that expecting them to at least be more competitive and respectable, that's going to have to wait a little bit because the schedule doesn't do them any favors early on, where you open up against the defending national runner-up in TCU, you have Nebraska, have a group of five opponent after that in Colorado State, and then guess what? You get back to combination of Oregon and USC. So it would not be a surprise whatsoever if through five games they're 1-4, and it's not like they have any gimmies or guaranteed wins the rest of the way, but I do think especially once you get into the second half of the season that you at least see them being a little bit more respectable than Colorado was last year, even though I know most people are probably saying that won't be hard considering they were a 1-11 team that got blown out in a good portion of their games. But I think they have a chance to get some wins there the second half of the year, even if it's just a few or whatever, setting the table for moving forward under Deion.
Matt, final question. I do want to ask you about a school you didn't mention, but their fan base wants to hear their names mentioned as a team that will be coming back in this upcoming season, and that's Billy Napier's team at Florida. He's had a good recruiting weekend, seemingly getting some momentum, although every time he gets some momentum, it seems like he's tugged back a little bit. What's your assessment of where that program is right now?
I've done a hell of a job recruiting-wise in the last week, and hey, I've added not only a good portion of guys somewhere in the double-digit range, but some really talented, highly ranked guys as part of that group. The big key for them, or one of the big keys is, and I'm not saying anything groundbreaking, is going to be what they can get out of Graham Mertz or whoever starting at the quarterback position, which I expect to be Graham Mertz. And I know the spring game performance was not great and probably didn't leave Florida fans overly encouraged, but for whatever it's worth, during the course of the spring, there was some optimism, and I think still is some optimism about him just based on what he did leading up to the spring game, especially that middle portion of spring ball. So I know it was very much up and down at Wisconsin during the course of his run there as a starter, but did at least show some flashes during the spring that have that staff somewhat optimistic heading into this year. But again, not anything groundbreaking, but a big part of it's going to come down to what they can get out of that quarterback position.
Great stuff. Matt Jenneth, nobody knows more about what's happening in college football than him from On3. We take a short break here. Your phone calls around the corner. We'll talk a little bit about some of the comments that Nick Saban made earlier in the week. In the next hour, we'll head to Omaha in the final hour. We're coming right back.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back, and Jim is up next. Hello, Jim.
Well, I wanted to wait on Jeff, but I'll just go ahead and tell you, since you got me, I told Jamar I wanted to wait, and he said okay, but I'm going to tell you something, Feinbaum. That call from Elmo was the most compelling, better than any gym call in the last few years, most important and compelling call I think ever made on the show. He told it like it is. I've told you that way before. I mean, you shouldn't be embarrassed. You shouldn't be shivering or upset. It's just the way the things have gone lately. And the uninteresting, inept, mostly calls from morons like DC. Who the hell is DC think he is coming in here? He represents DC very well. That's a typical DC attitude and a DC type of jerk. That guy burns my, you know what? I'm not going to cuss because I don't want to get kicked off. But man, that guy made me mad. He's horrible. He's wrong. And he's a goofball. He doesn't know a thing about the show. I do. You know Elmore does. He's been there a lot longer than I have. And that was a pertinent, important, reasonable, honest call from Elmore. I support him 100% what he said.
Criticism of a guy who called in talking about his own personal addiction.
I don't care what you – there you go. You're going to twist it on me. I knew that. I'm telling you, the guy, he knocked me. He knocked Iron Man. Iron Man's the best call on the show right now. You can take it or leave it. I don't give a damn, fine, Bob. Do what you want to do.
I was simply stating the truth there. Logan is up next. Hello, Logan.
Hey, Paul. That just makes my case right there. Listen to this guy, Jim. He talks about he says that God doesn't want him to talk about sports, but yet he's going to call on a show and he's going to say we need to talk about all sports. He's going to back Elmo. Like, that doesn't even make any sense. And he's backing Iron Man. Man, like, some of these old callers, Paul, I gotta tell you, they're getting really old. They need to come up with something new or just stop calling the show. That's the way I feel about it. I mean, as far as Elmo said. I've said this before, you know, I've said we need to talk about sports, but I'll be honest with you, man. I enjoy the callers. I enjoy what they have to talk about. We hear from all these prognosticators, and then we have to wait throughout their whole call. So it's great to hear calls from the real people out there, Paul. That's what I like to hear. And if they want to talk about addiction or, you know, think about this for a second. Right now, your show is on prime time for shut-ins, unemployed, and handicapped, and I guess ne'er-do-wells. So most of the calls are going to be made up of those type of people. I guess it's not your audience. Your audience is listening at work, but you only have so many people that can call. So, you know, it can't always be about sports, Paul. And that's all I want to say. And then just to hear Jim right there saying that, that just proves my point. Well, that guy is out of touch with everything, so he needs to really think of something to talk about before he calls again.
Jeff is up next in Ohio.
What's going on, Paul?
Jeff.
I mean, what are you doing walking all over Jim's phone call, getting him all upset, Paul?
I wasn't trying to get him upset. I was simply trying to explain to the audience what he was upset about.
I don't either, but that's what you get for stepping on his call like that. But I had to call in, Paul.
This guy stepped
on
his own call.
This Elmo's got a call. What?
He stepped not only on his own call, on something else.
I don't know. You just got to let Jim be Jim, man. I don't know why you got to step on his call all the time. But anyway, this Elmo's got to start calling in more often. I mean, we rarely hear from Elmo, but when he calls in, he knows what the drill is. He's been around the block about, what, 1,000 times, Paul? He goes way back, doesn't he?
I would say Elmo is close to Mercury 7.
Yeah. I mean, he makes a good point. I mean, it's the same with your guests, Paul. You got to quit having these guests on, like I've told you, that don't bring anything to the table. And then bring some guys on that bring the heat. You know, that's what the show was made on. That's what the show was good about. When the heat was flying around. I mean, it was, you know, shrapnel was around. You had to have your head on a swivel.
Do you realize how few people throw heat anymore on shows like this in terms of guests?
I have no idea, but when you bring the guys that bring the heat, that's when it's a good show. And you know that. And then the sad part is, when I ask about the guys that bring heat and you act like you don't know why you don't want to have them on.
Well, Jeff,
just because people don't agree with the masses doesn't make them a bad caller.
You have not given me a name other than the same dynamic duo that you've been talking about.
Well, no, I brought on other guys, too. I gave you a list of who not to have on a week ago. But
you haven't told me who we should have on other than these same two guys.
Now, I've told you numerous times who to have on. You've got that the SEC guy that's really good. Who's that? Bratton. What's his name?
Michael Bratton.
He's really good.
Yeah,
he stirs it up. You may not agree with him, and I know you like Bratton.
I do.
Don't you?
Of course I do, yes.
But my point was, you know, we need to have guys like Elmo calling in more often. Logan doesn't know what he's talking about. Logan's about is like listening to paint dry. But I had to, when I heard Elmo's call, I pulled over, got out of the car, and gave him a standing ovation for that call. It was such a good call, Paul.
And what I'm trying to understand is we're talking about a caller who criticized, this is I-Man yesterday, who criticized a guy who called in bearing his soul about the demons of addiction. And you and Jim and Elmo are now lining up behind that model of not wanting to hear about, of criticizing a guy who was being honest and authentic on this show.
I didn't hear the call last night, and I didn't hear I-Man's call. I'll admit that.
Well, in other words,
I just think Elmo makes
you
great
really
points.
Don't
That's
know
all
what
I'm
you're,
saying.
You really don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I know Elmo had a great call.
Well.
That's all I'm called about.
But you still don't understand the issue here. And all I tried to tell your kissing cousin from Tuscaloosa was he's criticizing a guy who bared his soul. I appreciate that honesty. That is honesty, even for
you
an Ohio State
Jim
fan. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.